From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Informative and engaging. Rick Munn. Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, hope you enjoyed that first hour of the show with Greg Mabry. And again, check him out. He has a Substack as well, by the way, Greg J. Mabry at substack.com, where he writes, and also his show, The No Fly Zone, on TNT Radio. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we have Mad McChaves returning to TNT Towers to tell us what he's up to over in the UK. A lot going on here on our side of the pond. If you're listening from America or Australia, it's nice to know what's happening in other parts of the world and getting it from people who are actually on the ground. Let's speak of which, hop across to Japan. Legendary Dr. Masanori Fukushima, have to be careful when I say that, Fukushima, speaking to the Japanese health ministry, says that COVID-19 jab is harming the immune systems, causing cardiovascular, heart, autoimmune, and blood pressure issues. Autopsies can't be annoyed. There must be an investigation. I'm not trying to be a smartass here, but we've been saying that for over a year. So with all due respect, Dr. Fukushima, you know, get with the program, son. All right, why is it taking you this long to open your trap and demand investigations and autopsies should not be ignored and so on and so forth? We've been saying it for the best part of 18 months or there and thereabouts, upwards of 2 years come this Christmas since the inception of the so-called jab rollout. And all of a sudden, these doctors are all getting awakened and they're all coming on board. Hey, where were you last year? Where were the year before? People keep saying, oh, Rick, you're not a doctor. You're not a virologist. You're not an immunologist. You're not an epidemiologist. No, but I just so happen to know as much about this bollocks as these so-called experts and revered doctors do. So well done, Dr. Fukushima, for speaking up and coming on board. But how come it's taken you so long? I don't know. Maybe we just got lucky in our initial assessments of this whole nonsense, but people are coming on board. Looking back over what has been happening, some people are reflecting at this time of year what was going on, for example, 12 months ago. And somebody has put up a throwback here to the 1st of December, 2021. So 1 year ago today, check this headline out. Fines of €100 or £85 will be imposed at monthly intervals in mid-January in Greece for people who refused to get their COVID jab, elderly people. So if you were a pensioner in Greece this time last year, you were threatened with a monthly fine of £85 or €100 until you took your COVID vaccine. The money will go towards the Greek health service, which is struggling with the surge in hospital admissions. So this was a headline from this time last year. This was what was actually happening in the world this time last year. There's an ongoing battle at the moment. I may discuss this with Mick in New Zealand. New Zealand's government health service has applied to remove guardianship of a four-month-old baby boy from his parents after they demanded that his life-saving surgery can proceed only with blood that does not contain the COVID-19 vaccine. So we have parents, concerned parents here, a sick child, and they're saying, listen, we appreciate that you can operate on him. We appreciate that. However, we want to request that if he needs a blood transfusion or he needs to have blood during the procedure, that it comes from an unvaccinated COVID donor. And the hospital are saying, well, you can't make that request. We filter the blood. We make sure there's nothing in the blood that could possibly harm your child. Yeah, I'm sorry, but the medical professional and Big Pharma haven't exactly done a good job over the last 2 years in instilling confidence in themselves from the general public based on the lies and the cover-ups that they've been perpetrating hand over fist. So they're telling this lady, No, you can't have that. And now there's a court battle going where the government or local services want to take custody of their four-month-old, take their child from them and make that decision on their behalf. It's a complicated one, to be honest with you. If the child's literally imminently in danger of death, if they don't have the surgery, you don't really have an option. You know, the child's going to die anyway, at least if they have the surgery and they're given the blood, it may kill them down the line. But if they don't have the surgery, it's going to kill them straight away. But this does open up a wider question and something that we've touched on here in Locked and Loaded a few months ago about maybe the need to have a national blood bank of people who will fund it themselves, donate their own blood if they're unvaccinated and have access to that, or give your own blood to be held in the blood bank should you need it somewhere down the line. I don't know a lot about it. It's just a thought and a concept, but it's definitely something that a lot of people are showing a lot of interest in, to protect themselves in the event of a blood transfusion somewhere down the line. So this case no doubt will be ongoing, and we will be keeping an eye on it as it develops. It's a real mess of a situation, and thoughts and prayers to that young kid who's sadly stuck in the middle of it all. So we are on all social media platforms. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Getter, we're on Gab, all those platforms. So if you use social media or use any one of those particular platforms, please look us up, TNT Radio, follow us, and help us to spread the word out there, to get the truth out there to as many people as possible. That's what our mission here is on TNT Radio.
News reported fairly.
They are a reliable source.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, the U.S. Army has announced that a $1.2 billion contract to produce six national advanced surface-to-air missile systems for Ukraine has been awarded to the defense conglomerate Raytheon. Jeremy Beck, one of our news producers here on TNT Radio, is joining me now to discuss this particular topic. Jeremy, how are you, sir?
Yeah, good, thanks, Rick. I think this story is quite concerning because the timeline, we're looking at a completion date of the 28th of November 2025. And $1.2 billion, I mean, you know, it's like money grows on trees. It's crazy, Rick. But the US Department of Defense, they said in a statement on Wednesday that work will be performed in Tewkesbury, Massachusetts, with this estimated completion date of the 28th of November, 2025. So far, Ukraine has received two out of eight National Advanced Surface-to-Air Missile System units promised by the United States. The contract includes associated equipment in addition to the batteries and spare parts, along with training, logistics support for the Ukrainian military. And this deal is funded under the so-called Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative. How does this work? Well, instead of sending Ukraine existing US military stocks, the initiative allows the Biden administration to procure weapons from the defense industry instead. So I see some hands rubbing together, Rick, where people say money, 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 we're making lots of money, military industrial complex people. But the Pentagon claims that the newly provided National Advanced Surface-to-Air Missile Systems have so far shown a 100% success rate in intercepting Russian missiles in Ukraine. Russia's defense ministry, however, insists that after every missile barrage, all intended targets were hit. Bit of a difference between the two stories there. But but given the significant damage to Ukraine's infrastructure, I think that the 100% success rate sounds rather odd, Rick.
Yeah, so you have US saying it's 100% success rate. You have Russia saying it's 100% failure rate. You know, there's no middle ground. There's no gray area there. One saying it's the best thing since sliced bread. The other one saying it's completely ineffective at shooting down our missiles. And again, there's people like you and me on the ground. We have no way of actually verifying the legitimacy of either one of those claims, because these are figures and percentages that are being released by the military, the Russian military, and obviously the US military. And we have no way of checking them out. We just have to look at this critically and look at this analytically. Now, interestingly, Jeremy, what this story in and of itself, to be honest with you, I've become desensitized to numbers this year. So the headline figure of 1.2 billion, literally, it's a meaningless figure now because of the amount of money that's been printed over the last 2 years and the billions upon billions that have been spaffed into the Ukraine over the last 8 to 9 months. You kind of lose track of it, and a figure of $1 billion all of a sudden doesn't seem so much. However, the time frame that you rightly highlighted is something that raised my eyebrow when I saw this story this morning, an estimated completion date of November 2025. Now, my mental arithmetic, you know, I make that 3 years from now before these systems are even delivered. That is effectively saying to us, listen, this war isn't going over or going away anytime soon. That is depressing. The thought of it being at least another 3 years before these things even hit the ground. Oh, how are we going to stick this man for another 3 years, let alone, God forbid, the people that are on the ground that are being used as cannon fodder and meat shields on both sides? It's just an unholy mess.
It is, Rick. And that was really the number that impressed me most too, or depressed me the most, 3 years. I mean, look, the $1 billion is a huge amount of money just for, mm-hmm. for a few weapons, which who knows what percent success rate, but that's regardless. More than $19.8 billion US dollars worth of military aid, including sophisticated hardware, high mobility artillery rocket systems, M777 howitzers, combat drones, all the rest. So far, $19.8 billion total of military aid, not to mention the other tens of billions of dollars of other so-called aid to Ukraine. So there would be soft kind of aid in terms of propaganda aid, in terms of, well, there might be a bit of genuine aid that, you know, like food supplies or whatever else they're sending there. But $19.8 billion is a lot of money in military hardware, Rick. And the 3 years, that is quite a depressing number, 3 years. Mm-hmm. It's just three, but that's a long time. And what can happen in 3 years? I think what can happen in 3 months, the way the world is going. That's
3 weeks.
Time.
Hell's bells, man. 3 weeks, even. And if you think about it, effectively, what they've done is they've telegraphed, if all of this is legitimate, they've just telegraphed Russia a message to say, listen, in 3 years from now, we may be able to shoot down any missiles that you fire at Ukraine. If I was Russia and I really was homicidally inclined, I'd say, right, let's start firing as many of them as possible today. We're not going to wait for 3 years. You've given us the time frame in which we can operate. It's just a mess. And you also talk about, rightly so, you bring up the good point that this is going to be new tech. Okay, so this is stuff that's being development. It's being developed. It's going to be built up from scratch. It's going to be shipped out there. This week alone, we've heard about Patriot missiles being sent out there to help in the war effort against Russia. Zelensky has his begging bowl out this week. He's talking about, check this one out, $1 trillion he needs to rebuild Ukraine again. So we're actually moving from the millions to the billions, and now trillions is being mentioned as the cost of rebuilding Ukraine up again. You know, what's after a trillion? A quadrillion or something like that? I don't know. I mean, the figures getting more and more astronomical.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a quadrillion is actually used in the financial sense. They talk about $1 quadrillion in derivatives, and they're just financial instruments which are just highly speculative. Mm-hmm. But what we're talking about right now is you know, $1 trillion of, mm-hmm. in terms of building up Ukraine again. Well,
yeah.
I asked the question, is it really intended to build Ukraine? Because the model that they're using is the model of the green economy. So a digital economy, all the rest, it won't really build Ukraine. It will enslave Ukraine. It's not going to lift their living standards. I don't even think it will happen. I think it's all fantasy land of technocrats who have got some big plans that won't be able to implement those plans because the world will be in too much of a mess by the time they get around to doing that anyway.
You're right. And, you know, the picture's being painted here that the place is like, you know, a World War One, no man's land. It's been artilleryed and shelled to high heavens. There's no trees. There's no buildings. It's not all of the country that this conflict is happening. And it's primarily over in the east side, in the Donbas region and areas in and around that, that have been shelled or that might have been bombed or invaded or that actual conflict is taking place. So this figure of a billion, they're trying to paint the picture, I think, that Ukraine has been leveled, that everything is in ruins, like Berlin was after it had fell at the end of the Second World War. It was just a burnt out shell. It's not like that across the whole country. Many parts of Ukraine are untouched by this conflict, thank God. They're untouched and they don't need rebuilding. But hey, Zelensky's if nothing, if not an opportunist. And if he's going to get his begging bowl out and demand money, he may as well go big. He may as well shoot for a trillion. And if he gets half a trillion, you know, it's a win-win for old Volodymyr. So we'll keep an eye on that one with the defense contracts. You may see more of these coming up over the next few weeks and months. Of course, the defense contractors are rubbing their hands together in glee. Someone's making money out of this. That's what war's all about for some people. So Jeremy, thank you very much for that story and your input and insights on it. I appreciate it very much. And we'll be talking again tomorrow with something new. I'm Rick Munn. Mick Chaves is coming up after the news or the ads here on TNT Radio. Please don't go away.
Singer, songwriter, and keyboardist of Fleetwood Mac, Christine McVie, has died. Born in 1943, McVie was introduced to the piano from a young age and went on to join her first band, Chicken Shack, in 1967. The following year, she married Fleetwood Mac bassist John McVie, and a year after that, left Chicken Shack to eventually join Fleetwood Mac from 1970 on. Her first solo album, Christine Perfect, was released that year too, but it was her prolific work over the coming decades with Fleetwood Mac that brought her widespread international fame and acclaim. Christine was responsible for writing and singing on their biggest hits, Don't Stop, You Make Loving Fun, Little Lies, and Everywhere. Among countless accolades and records, she was a Grammy winner for their album of the year, Rumors, and also inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1998. We remember the legendary Christine McVie.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I am definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
And now a news update. The president's doctor has confirmed that the president is suffering from gastric distress. Apparently, he can't stop Putin.
You're stupid.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, this is the moment of the day. I'm super happy to be joined again by my old sparring partner from the Kent Resistance, none other than Mad Mick Chaves. Mick, it's good to see you again. You're smiling at me. It's always nice when people are smiling at me. How the hell are you, mate?
I'm very well. Thanks again for having us on. I was saying it's like catching up with an old mate every time we come on here. It's like we just shoot the breeze together. I enjoy it.
Yeah, me too, mate. Me too. And if Martin's in the background there, I don't see him. That's your technical expert. Good morning to you, Mr. Martin Noakes, as well. Just to let people know, we have a live chat function on our website, tntradio.live. A lot of people are saying they're looking forward to hearing you. They've been following you on Telegram for quite some time. So for the uninitiated out there, you can check out Mix Output. By the way, he has a Telegram page. If you look up Mad Mix, M-I-X, Mad Mix Conspiracies on Telegram. And also he has a website as well, madmixconspiracies.co.uk. And there's also a project that he's involved with, which I always like to get a little plug in for, which is hopesussex.co.uk. That's a school that these guys are involved in building and helping to run for people that want to maybe take kids out of the mainstream educational institutions and provide an alternative for them. And I want to talk about some of the work that you're doing with that later on as well, because I know you've got a little project coming up, or a Christmas fair coming up for that later on this month. I think we're into December now. Yeah, so that's on the horizon too. So, oh, a lot's been going on since you last came on. Literally, it's been about 5 weeks or so. Man, you can't keep up with stuff at the minute. You've been putting out some interesting content on Telegram. I'll tell you what I want to talk to you about today. I've made a few little bullet points. You made a video not so long ago there, said we all fall for their propaganda at times. You were giving a very brutal assessment of where we're all at the minute, where we could all be heading at the minute. I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about zoning. All right. Various parts of the UK are being zoned right now. You're being charged money to go into your own town centre, the place that you were born and reared in. They're now charging you money to do that. They want to limit movements. The census has come out. Britain is no longer a Christian country. We're now in a minority. You and I are minorities now in the UK or Ireland. Birmingham is no longer a predominantly white city. Okay, I'm not a racist here, but it's kind of weird that the capital of England, one of the biggest cities in the world, now has white as a minority. Okay, we're now the minorities. Your old mate, Matt Hancock, of course, and your legendary musical efforts around exposing him for the dog that he is. We want to talk about that. And also, as I've said, the business about hope. So that's what's on the agenda from me. How does that sound to you? Do you think we're going to get through all that?
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about, but we'll do our best. We'll do our best.
We will do our best. Let's talk about, in fact, we'll do it now. We'll give it a plug now in case I forget later on in the show, because we've got a little news break in 4 minutes. Hope Sussex. Okay, you guys have been involved in that project for quite some time now throughout the course of this year. You're involved in building it up. It's a school project. Tell us a little bit about it and what the event is that's coming up. The people maybe that are listening in your neck of the woods could go down and support that Christmas event. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, this Friday, actually, tomorrow.
Blimey, tomorrow?
It's tomorrow. They've got their Christmas fair down there at Hope. It's always about raising funds. It's a charitable thing. Get kids out of mainstream education. Protect mm-hmm. them from the sex education that's going on in all the schools over here in the UK, which is absolutely outrageous. Last year, we were trying to get children out of school because of the jab. This year, they're trying to sexualize our children, mm-hmm. so we know what's been going on. A place mm-hmm. like Hope Sussex, you can go down there with your kids. You can, you have to stay. It's not a school. You don't drop them off. You mm-hmm. stay. There's various classes going on. There's like a cafeteria area for socializing for the parents whilst the kids are doing activities. It's an absolutely mm-hmm. amazing place. And this tomorrow, they're having their Christmas fair. White said Fred are going to be down there. They're coming mm-hmm. down to do a book signing. They got all Excellent. Sorts going on. They got stalls and stuff. It's going to be a good day down there tomorrow.
Great. And that's all to raise funds for the maintenance and upkeep of that school, which, as you rightly pointed out, is an alternative to these. I don't even call them schools anymore, Mick. I don't know how you can call what we're sending kids to schools. When I was a kid, school when I was a kid is not school what kids are going to these days. So I think we need to stop calling them schools for a start, because they're across, I think, at the minute between a zoo, a prison camp, and some kind of paedophile's dream world, which is effectively what kids are being subjected to. And you actually make a good point. I was reflecting on the last 12 months before you came on, and I was saying about what they were saying this time last year. And as you said, last year, they were trying to stick needles into the arms of kids. This year, they're trying to pervert their brains with gender theories and various critical race ideologies and one thing and another. Has there ever been a more dangerous time to be a kid? I used to get beat when I was at school. At least, you know, you can recover from a slap. You know, you can recover from the teacher giving you a dig. But you can't recover for some of the mind games that are being played in these kids now. It's more dangerous to be a kid now than it was when I was at school.
The kids are so confused these days, Rick.
Yeah.
The whole problem with this agenda is, like you said, they're getting in kids' brains, and it's all about confusing the kids. They're telling the kids that their parents don't know better. So we're telling you this. And if your parents tell you otherwise, then that's child abuse. And we're going to report your parents to the social services. They are taking children away from parents because the parents don't agree with the trans agenda. I mean, it's absolutely mental what's going on. But that's being pushed into the kids at school. The kids don't know what they are.
And there's laws being passed in various parts of the world now, like in Victoria and Australia, whereby a teacher doesn't even have to inform a parent. A teacher can keep quiet or not inform a parent if a child comes to the teacher and says, I think I'm a girl, I think I'm a boy at 4 and 5 and 6 years of age. The schools now have no obligation to tell the parents that. And if the parent contests it, if they find out and contest it, the kid could be taken off them because they're deemed to be possibly abusive parents. This is all happening. This is all accelerating, and I don't think this is going away anytime soon because, sadly, people are rolling over and accepting it as part of the new normal, and that's what I want to move into with you. We've got to take a super quick news break, like a minute. When we come back, I want to look at what lies ahead maybe in 2023, and I'm sorry to say it's not going to be a very uplifting conversation with you, I don't think, but we've got to be real, because if we're not real, then we won't accept it, and then if we don't accept it, we can't do anything about it. So let's have a brutal assessment about where we're heading going into 2023 with Mick Chaves here on TNT Radio. Don't go away, we'll literally be back in 1 minute.
Big news, news, news.
A story which contains more than first meets the ear.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. Western media organisations appear to be backtracking on their stance on Julian Assange and are now campaigning for his freedom. As Elon Musk vows to run a more fair and transparent Twitter that won't interfere in elections, the European Union has threatened to ban the site. And the European Union is looking for a legal loophole which will allow it to sell Russian assets that have been frozen as part of Western sanctions to use the cash to prop up Ukraine.
We wear the PPE and wade through the muck so you don't have to. Never miss our thought-provoking take on the latest news and current affairs. Take TNT Radio wherever you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio, or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Okay, you've been on the ground for years, literally on the streets, protesting in London, doing yellow card protests outside hospitals, serving notice on people. You have been out there on the ground. Some people do it from behind the keyboard. Some people do it from their video phones like I do and you do, and other people go out and do it on the ground. You did a video on your Telegram channel, Mad Mix Conspiracies, and the title was, We all fall for their propaganda. And you know what? It was a little bit depressing listening to you, but it was depressing because you were speaking facts, all right? And we need to take the rose-tinted glasses off here, okay? As much as we've protested about one thing and protested about another, take, for example, the drag story hours in the libraries. You were really adamantly, you were following them around the country. You were protesting outside it, and still they go on. You protest about the jabs, and still they go on. You talk about Matt Hancock, the Madazlam murderer, and he's on the fucking TV, right? Making money on TV, and people are starting to say, hey, he's not such a bad guy. He's just a little bit misunderstood. I don't know about you, mate, but sometimes I just want to go into a dark room and just bang my head off a brick wall. It frustrates me when I see the blinkers that people still have on to this day. Are we going to see this continuing into 2023? People say they're awake, but really, are they? You know, you can say you are, you can claim you are, but then your actions kind of don't match up with your words. What do you make of all this?
I'll tell you what I'm seeing within the resistance, Rick, is that, like I said, the propaganda's working. The migrants coming in, the BBC tell us there's 1,000 a day. So people in the resistance are upset that it's a UN army or it's this or it's rape gangs or it's that. But they don't know. But they're getting themselves excited because the establishment, the overlords want us to get excited about it and they want us to react. At the same way, they want us to react about the zoning. They want us to react about the petrol prices. They want us to react. They're provoking a reaction. And I react. Don't get me wrong, Rick. I react. I'm out there shouting and screaming. I reacted about the libraries because they played me like a fiddle. And they're playing us like a fiddle with all this stuff now. So we get ourselves excited about it. We say, no, we're not having this. We're going to do something about this. But that's what they want us to do. Otherwise, they wouldn't show us it. Because all the stuff that they want to keep secret, trust me, it's kept secret and we don't know about it. So true, we only know about what they're telling us. And they use social media and they use platforms. They'll put out a video and someone like me, yourself, other truthers will see it and they'll react to it. And they'll say, no, look at this. We can't have this. It's because that's the way they want us to react. So I'm thinking that, you know, myself personally, I take a step back. I look at the big picture. And I'm like, all right, in which direction do I go now? You know, which battle do I fight? Which hill am I prepared to die on? Because there's so many of them, you know, and they're bringing it in. A lot of people, Rick, have gone with the currency. They're saying, keep using cash. Keep using cash, and they can't phase cash out. Well, unfortunately, guys, I don't want to break your spell, but they are. They can phase cash out. If you say you'll keep using cash, you go into Starbucks, they don't take cash, you just don't get a coffee, end of story. If you go and get your, you know what, the other day, Rick, I went to put air in my tyres. I went to put the 50p in the machine. No, it wants a credit card to put air in my tyres. It wants a credit card. How am I going to argue with that machine that I'm going to use cash only? I can't argue with that machine. I use my credit card or I don't put air in my tyres. And that's the reality we're living in. So whichever battle you think you're going to fight, they're bigger than us and they're stronger than us. And we've got to look at different ways. We've got to be smarter, you know, and we got to think about ourselves and our family. That's the most important thing. And we've got to start looking after our family, you know. And people have been prepping. They're talking about power cuts. We've been prepping for 3 years now. If we ain't ready for this now, then we ain't ever going to be ready.
Here's the thing, right? I'm hearing everything you're saying. I'm agreeing with everything you're saying. And in that video as well, you said, what's the answer then? What's the answer? The answer is mass non-compliance, not just non-compliance. It has to be mass non-compliance. So let's take the Starbucks example, right? You go into Starbucks, you say, I want to pay you cash, £2.50, £3 for that coffee. They say, no. You're not having it. So you look around and there's a queue of people that are happy to comply. You're the only one that doesn't. So you just take yourself off somewhere else, Mick, right? But what if everybody in the queue turned around and said, well, if he can't be served the way he wants to pay, we're all leaving here. Trust me, the manager would come out and look at that queue and say, each one of those people's a fiver. And if the word gets out about this, it's bad news. We need a mass buy-in to this, right? It's not enough for a few people like you and me to get onto a public platform and tell us about how kids are being corrupted and perverted, but parents are happily bringing their kids to these drag story hours. Not only that, in Ireland, they're paying to take kids to public libraries to expose them. That, how do you fight against that? You need mass buy-in with all of this, okay? And it's the same with all of this, Mick. We don't need to get violent. You know that. You've never been violent. You condone it. You just say, listen, we need boots on the ground. We need people just to say no, but we need it in numbers. And sadly, I don't think that the numbers are there. That's why these companies can say, you know what? If we want to remove cash, we're damn well going to do it because there's enough people out there that will support us. And you, Rick, and you, Mick, you're in the minority, so you can suck it up or you can go somewhere else. I think that's where they have us over a barrel. We need to get more buy into all this.
You know what, Rick? What they did, what the overlords did, is they created themselves an army. And we're worried about the refugees coming in being the army. They're not the army we've got to worry about. The Jabberwockies are the army we've got to worry about. Mm-hmm. We're talking about people that have had six injections. They have got the biggest army. We can't fight against that. If we tell them, oh, use cash, they're like, oh, no, no, I want to use my card. Don't get injections. Oh, what if I die of COVID? Their army is so big now. Yep. It's about 30 million people in this country have had four or five jabs. Mm-hmm. And we've got to fight against them. It's not just the government anymore. It's not just the overlords anymore. Mm-hmm. It's the people. It's our family. It's our loved yep. ones. I'm banging my head against the wall, Rick, on a daily basis mm-hmm. with my own family. You know, so I can get 20 people from the resistance to go and blockade Starbucks. The rest of my family are saying to me, yeah, but Mick, why are you doing that? What's the point in that? I'm like, if I can't convince people that have got the same blood as me, then I can't convince anybody, Rick. And this army we're fighting, it's bigger than people think it is. They're worried about refugees coming in. They want to worry about their Jabberwocky relations.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, it's what I call brutal truth, right? It's a brutal truth, and it's a big fat truth pill that nobody wants to swallow, okay? And in my opinion, okay, I've said this before, you see the immigration business, if you and me were sitting somewhere in Algeria or Eritrea or Ukraine, you and me, we would be looking at the UK going, hey, Mick, we got to get there. If we can get there, they'll put us in a hotel. They'll give us a house, maybe. They'll look after us, free medical. You and me would be going on the dinghies. You and me would be on the dinghies. The fault of this lies with the government. The fact that they don't police their own borders. The so-called Border Force Patrol is Border Farce Patrol. And Serco, companies like Serco, are buying up hotels hand over fist, making people redundant or kicking people out of jobs to facilitate this well, it is an invasion. There is an invasion going on. But as you rightly say also, the amount of people, none of this could happen. None of this could happen, or this would never have gotten to this point if there had been mass non-compliance from the general population. But because of mass compliance from our own friends, family and relatives and work colleagues, that's why you and me are sitting with high blood pressure today. It's not because of a foreign invading force. It's because of our bloody friends and family. Oh, yeah. What do we do,
That's been my biggest problem over the last 3 years. It's been the biggest problem. You know, it's fine being out there fighting and protesting for everyone else's family, everyone else's children.
Yeah.
Yes, I am about that. But I've got children and grandchildren. Uh-huh. And... Uh-huh. If I can't fight for my own family, if I can't convince my own family of this, you know, and still 3 years in, they look at me like I'm a nutter. Not all of them, but a lot of them look at me like I'm a nutter. I do kind of sometimes lose the will to live. And I'm like, what's the point? If you can't see what's coming, or if you're happy with what's coming, then who am I to take it away from you? You might as well go and get microchipped, get scanned by your 5G mask, you know. Me and you haven't even touched on the 5G and the date and the tracking of the graphene oxide that's already in people's bloods with a barcode. You know, it's just mental what's going on out there.
It's accelerating too. I mean, like, it's not just the case of, you know, we've had a rough 2 to 3 years and now we're coming down and we can chill out a little bit and put our feet up because things are going back. No, they're just getting started. All right. And before you came on, there's a story has came out. We'll touch on this really briefly. A story has came out yesterday or today. Bloomberg, Musk's Neuralink hopes to implant a computer into human brain within the next 6 months. Elon Musk says we're now confident that the Neuralink device is ready for humans. So timing is a function of working through the FDA approval process. Okay, that in and of itself, you could say he's a loon. He's bringing in this crazy technology. But the most depressing thing, right? If you go onto his Twitter feed, there's tens of thousands of people who think this is fantastic and they're literally offering themselves up to be experimented on, right? These are not wicked. These are just people with the blinkers on. And this is like the big tech equivalent, in my opinion, of the COVID jabs. It's safe. It's effective. Where can I get mine? I'm going to go and get my booster. I'm going to go and do this. He says it's as simple as drilling out a piece of your skull and sticking a smartwatch in there. Mate, I wouldn't even wear a smartwatch on my wrist with a strap, let alone let someone bore out a portion of my skull and stick some computer chip in there. But people are waiting for it. They're waiting for it, and they'll be queuing round the block like they do to get their new iPhones, mate. That's what we're up against. And yeah, that's what we're up against, mate.
That's the hardest part, Rick, because like I said, that's the army of the Jabberwockies, and it's a big army. And we got to get over them before we can even get near the government or the overlords. We got to get past. And they were clever. They were smart. You know, they put that army there. They divided our families. They divided our communities, our societies, so that we now, all us who are going to be the mass non-compliers, well, it's not going to be a mass, is it? It's going to be a few hundred here, a few hundred there. You know, so it's not going to be enough to make a difference because they're cleverer than us. They're smarter than us. I hate to say it, and I know people listening to me are going to say, oh, Mick, you're such a defeatist. But these people have got think tanks, and they've been working on this stuff for years. You know, me and you are sat here pulling our hair out. Look at the state of me. I've got none left. Pulling our hair out because we don't know how we're going to fight them. We don't know what we can do to stop them because everyone we try to get to come on our side thinks that we're nuts. You know, and like you said, they're queuing up to have a chip put in their brain so they can go to Asda and pay for their coffee with their head. You know, it's like, what is going on here?
Now, of course, let's be realistic too. There is a pocket. There are people that are against this, like you and me, and people that we associate with in our close circles. But of all the people I know, and I'm not a sociable kind of guy, I like to keep myself to myself. People tend to aggravate me. Maybe that's my problem rather than mankind's problem. But I could count on the fingers. Actually, I wouldn't even need the thumb. I could count on the four fingers of one hand the amount of people that are on the same, quote, wavelength as me that see it the way I see it. The rest of them will nod at you sometimes or shake their head like you're a raving lunatic. And as you rightly say, the strategy I think now is you speak the truth, you speak it on multiple platforms, you go out and you do your bit, but you can lead a horse to water, Mick. You can lead a horse to water, but as frustrating as it is, you can't make it drink. So you speak your truth, you put yourself out there, you do what you can to make people aware of the dangers. But after that, you've got to look at your own self. You've got to look at your own household. You've got to look at your own next of kin. And you've got to say, you know what? I can't save the world, but I can maybe save a few people from the world. And in the meantime, I need to set my own house in order because, mate, I think we're in for a very, very turbulent, bumpy ride over the next few years. And we got to make sure, us personally, we're solid. We've got our brains intact. We're not getting demented on a daily basis because of frustration and, you know, a lack of buy-in and a lack of mass non-compliance. No, we need to take a deep breath and take stock of ourselves too, because it ain't over yet. It's like a heavyweight boxing match. We're only in about round three right now, and it could go 12 to 15 rounds. So yeah, pace yourselves, folks out there. And we're not being defeatist. We're being realistic. Okay, you got to be realistic, and then you go from there. So we're going to take a pause. I'm going to take some water, some H2O, to wet the whistle. And when we come back after the ad breaks, we can talk about your next assault on the Christmas charts to try and get you back up to number one again. Yes, we're going to do it. I've got a feeling in my bones. I got to be optimistic. We're going to talk about that when we come back with Mick. Please don't go away. This is Locked and Loaded TNT Radio. We'll be right back.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
For decades, we've been told that being gay is not a choice, but rather one is born that way. This even though no gene has ever been found for that trait. And now comes word that if you weren't born a lesbian, but you'd like to be a lesbian, there's hope for you. The Daily Mail reports that women are speaking out about a possible side effect of taking oral contraceptives. They say taking the pill eventually turned them gay. Apparently, women have anonymously shared their experiences on Reddit, claiming that starting or stopping birth control woke up a part of their sexuality that had been asleep for years. This has led to scientific study into the claims. Researchers from the University of Stirling in the UK looked at whether women might choose different, more or less masculine-looking partners when they're on the pill than they would if they were not on the pill. And guess what? They found that women on the pill preferred images of males with less masculine features, and they were also more likely to choose such men as partners. So, if you've ever thought about being a lesbian but couldn't quite get there, congrats, there's hope for you. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
I've been driving for most of my life, and I've always been a safe driver. But as I've grown older, driving has become more challenging. Intersections feel busier. Driving in peak hour traffic and travelling longer distances is stressful. And driving at night or in bad weather is risky. Even small mistakes can be costly. Look for the signs. If driving is getting harder, there are alternatives. Make a plan to stop driving on your terms. Don't stop driving by accident. Think Road Safety, a message from the Government of South Australia.
TNT Radio.
Gas in America is $3.39, down from over $5 when I took office.
What? He's not like retarded, but there's something wrong with this guy.
Be a part of the conversation.
Come on, man.
TNT.
Right. Matt Hancock, your old chum. Oh, we've talked about him this year. You've wrote a song about him. He went into the celebrity in Australia, I think it was. He endeared himself to many people. They said he was misunderstood. But we know the truth about old Madazalam Matt, mass murdering Madazalam Matt, allegedly. Yes, it's no secret. However, he's making money. He's telling us he's raising awareness for dyslexia. He was paid about $400,000 for his appearance in the jungle. You're striking back in one of the best ways in which you know how, which is through the medium of music. Tell us about this single, Matt the Cock, where we can download it, how we can get you to number one at Christmas. Oh, wouldn't that be a sweet, sweet thing?
It would be amazing. Listen, the government, you know, the overlords thought that it would be funny to put Matt Hancock in the jungle after what he had done. What everyone in the resistance knows what he had done, like you said, with the Madazalam murders. Earlier in the year, Martin and I released Matt the Cock, which was a song about the Madazalam murders. But It kind of fell on deaf ears back then because Matt had already gone. But now he's back in the limelight. He's come third in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. He's doing every breakfast television show in the world. You know, everyone wants to talk to him. He's a celebrity now. What we're going to do is try and sneak in the back door and put this message out in a very subtle way. It's an uplifting song, but with a very deadly message. And we've Martin's reworked it and put in some Christmas stuff. So it's now a Christmas single, right?
Good.
And it's the Jungle Bells mix. Matt the Cock, the Jungle Bells mix. And it's out now, but we don't want people to buy it yet. Because if we attack the chart on the 16th of December, if people start downloading it from the 16th of December through that week, it could get into the Christmas chart. And then normies will see that their hero, this guy that they've now put up on a pedestal, was killing people, was killing old folks. The fact that, you know, you and I know he sent all them people home from the hospital. Every contract that was out there for any kind of medical equipment, he gave to someone that was related to him or his neighbour or within his circle or his lodge. So we know what he's done. We know the damage that the guy's done. And with Martin's use of music, he's come up with that song, Matt the Cock, which is an amazing song. I still think it's one of the best we've done.
It's really catchy, actually. It's really catchy. You can check it out. You've made a video for the first one as well. You can check it out on YouTube. It's actually really good. And I would love to see it. I remember years ago, Rage Against the Machine, they got Killing in the Name off to the Christmas number one to fight back against the X Factor because it was always number one in the UK at Christmas. And then they had this campaign on to get Rage Against the Machine on there with Killing in the Name Off. Sadly, they're a bunch of government shills now as well. But it would be, that would actually make my joke. I would be grinning like a Cheshire cat if you got to the Christmas number one spot this year.
And listeners, it would be amazing.
Listeners, you can help make that happen. All right. So if you're listening in, you can download it off what you can go onto Spotify or Apple Music, and you can download it the week beginning the 16th of December. Yeah, that's the key. 16th.
Yeah, Friday the 16th of December. That's the week for the Christmas chart. So if all the downloads happen in that week, then we may be able to. I know it's a big ask because that's when everyone's downloading their Christmas songs. But if we download it from the 16th of December, then it'll attack the Christmas chart, and the normies will be forced to realise what Matt Hancock had done. Not just Matt Hancock, but our government, you know, and the whole farce of the whole COVID scam.
You see, here's the sad thing, right? You see, because of the media, which again, you know, the government are the instigators of all of this crap, but the media have been their henchmen throughout all this. If it wasn't for the buy-in from the BBC or the buy-in from Sky News or any of these Murdoch-operated press corporations and newspapers, none of this could have progressed to this point either. And even just to give you an example, the other day there was a BBC headline, let me bring it up here, there was a BBC headline of a man who had basically raped a 14-year-old girl, but the BBC spun it around to say trans woman has underage sex with 14-year-old girl. No, that's not what happened. A man raped a child. That's what happened. But we have the BBC trying to twist this to try and keep it woke and to try and make it less offensive as possible. They're part of the problem as well. So as you say, people need to have a spotlight shone on this, because most people, sadly, the Jabberwockies, as you call them, the Jabberwocky army and the normies out there, they go to the BBC as default. They go to ITV. They go to Sky News. They read The Guardian. They read the Daily Mail, and they think this is the gospel. That's part of the problem here. So by whatever means we can, we have to try and get the message into their ears. And a catchy Christmas number one would be just the way to do that, I think. So keep your eyes open. Is it under the name of, what's the name of the art? Are you under, is it under Mad Mix or what's the name?
Mad Mix, yeah. Yeah. It's by Mad Mix and the Resistance. But it's, right, it's Mad under Mix. Mad Mix. So right. Just Mad Mix. Matt the Cock by Mad Mix.
Right. That, and for further information... For further information as well, Mick has a website, madmixconspiracies.co.uk. I'm sure there'll be details on that where you can go to download
all,
it.
And all the links are on that website.
All the links on the website. And listeners out there, if you're using Telegram, which I think is a good alternative, I know it's a bit of an echo chamber out there, but there are bigger channels developing there that can pretty much post up what they want. It's a good Telegram channel as well, Mad Mix Conspiracies on Telegram. And a shout out to your buddy as well. Always make a wee note of this down, Danny from Truth Pills. So you can check out Truth Pills on Telegram as well and go there and get your information. We've covered off Hope. We've covered off Matt Hancock. We've talked about keeping our heads together while everyone else around him is losing theirs. Coming up to Christmas, any plans you got in store in case I don't get talking to you before Christmas? You going to have a quiet one, or what's the Mad Mick planning for Christmas?
The big one for me, my Christmas is going to be the 23rd day of December. On the 23rd day of December, we got a gig with Victorious at the Royal George down in Shoreham near Brighton, and Jam for Freedom. I don't know if you've heard of Jam for Freedom. They're another huge freedom music band. They're going to be supporting Victorious. I'm going to come on with Victorious and do a couple of my tracks. It's going to be an amazing night. It's a big night for the resistance. It's going to be our big Christmas party, you know, with Jam for Freedom and Victorious on the bill. It's going to be amazing. So we want to get as many people from the resistance down there as possible, because, you know, this for us is going to be our Christmas. And then we can take the rest of the week off.
Yeah, you can literally take, because listen, you need a few days off to get your head shored. You know, I banged away at this all year until about July. I didn't take any time off at all. But you see, by the time July came around, after doing this every day, 5 days a week, 3 hours a day, my head was fried. As much as I love doing this, I don't look at this as a job. I enjoy doing this. It's important to me to do this. But you get fatigued, and I think if you can have a blowout on the 23rd, which is what you're planning to do, have a good get together, a bit of a knees up, have a laugh, let your hairs down for those of you that have hair, and have a good night. That's not a bad strategy. And then for anyone that's listening to this show as well, you know, a lot of people have been really hammering it this year, getting information out there, trying to talk people around, which is fantastic. But you also need to pace yourself a little bit, because if you don't pace yourself, you burn out. And then when you burn out, you're off the road longer than you would have been had you taken a little break. And lastly, another plug for you, because we're nearly up to time here. Tomorrow, which is the 2nd of December, Hope in Sussex are having their Christmas fair. It's from 3 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Battle Road entrance. Is that Netherfield, or what's the exact location very quickly?
Yeah, that's it. Netherfield near Battle, but it's the Battle Road entrance. We come in, the car park's around there. And excellent. Yeah, from 3 o'clock till seven.
Get down and support Mick and the guys down at Hope. Support the Hope Project. Right said, Fred will be there too. They've been really speaking out for the last 2 years as well about the shenanigans that's going on here as well. They have music there. They have burgers and chips. It sounds good. I'm bloody hungry right now. I could be doing with a Hope burger right now myself, but it's not going to happen. Mick, we're up to time. Where the hell does the time go? It always goes by so fast. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I wish you all the best. Download Matt the Cock from Apple Music and all the major outlets. Get him to number one on the 16th of December. 16th of December. Download it and let's see if we can get him to number one at Christmas. Big salute to you, mate. Big salute to Martin Noakes and all the Kent Resistance, all your chums out there. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. Jeff in the studio. Sterling job as always. I'm off-ski now. I'm going to get some fresh air. Mick, it's been a pleasure. And if I don't see you before it, have a fantastic Christmas, mate. And God bless you.
Andrew, thank you.
Cheers, mate.